Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I'm excited to have not just any Canadian realtor with us, but the man who is affectionately known as the Real Estate Geek. This is Tony Iacoviello. Tony, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Lee. Good morning, everybody. I'm just pumped. I'm just loving this idea that you got going here for this podcast, and I'm just happy to share all the crazy shit that's happened to me.
Now, because you're a Canadian and I'm an American, you know, my people tend to think that all of Canada is just one big glob. So why don't you tell people exactly where in that big glob you conduct real estate business?
Oh, that's great. We are actually, most people in America would probably recognize Toronto. That is the biggest city in Canada. It's just north of Buffalo. So we're just on the Great Lakes there. And I am about 45 minutes to the east of Toronto. So we're just right in the just outside the greater Toronto area in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. So that's where I'm from. It is affectionately known as Steel Town, although now it's been transformed and it's becoming more of a healthcare technology town. But yeah, we're just in between Niagara Falls, which most Americans know, Niagara Falls, New York, and Toronto. So we're like halfway in between those two in the most, not most southern part, but pretty southern part of Ontario.
Awesome. Okay, so the ground rules of the podcast before you tell your story, no F-bombs, no GDs, because I'm allergic to those words. Anything else flies. And if there is a story that involves another human being, just don't name their name so that if they want to expose themselves as being guilty, it's up to them to do so, not us. So with that being said, I can't wait to hear you tell us the story that you gave me the brief outline of.
Well, the names will be changed to protect the innocent. So we'll stick with that idea.
And the guilty, protect the guilty too, because they know.
Oh, them too. Yes, no problem. And I'll try my best not to curse too much. But basically, the stories, I guess, that I floated to you was, for some reason, I seem to attract a lot of naked people. I'm not really sure why, but I've been in real estate almost 5 years now. And for some reason, nudists, or naturists, as they like to be called, seem to gravitate towards me. And I really have no idea why. I'm not sure. It's not like a really popular thing here in Ontario, but they seem to find me out of the thousands.
So wait a minute. Did you say naturist? Are nudists like trying to be politically correct now too?
I think so. I think this is the version of, we used to call them retirement communities or old folks home, and now we call them adult lifestyle communities. So this is kind of the same thing, I think. So naturists.
Please tell me you're not talking about a retirement community of nudists, because that's a visual I don't need today.
Yes, actually, that's part of the story. That's kind of where it starts, really. And they're actually in mobile home parks, so I don't know if that adds any flavor to it for y'all, because I know everybody's got their opinions of mobile homes and modular homes and that kind of thing. But there are two that are here not too far away from me here in Ontario, probably about 45 minutes away, more out in the rural areas. So they got two of these parks. And one of them, my story starts there basically because a friend of mine, when I first started in real estate, gave me the opportunity to work with her. And I've always been grateful to her for that opportunity. But one of the places that she worked was a place out here in Ontario that is a former nudist trailer park, I guess you want to call it, year-round trailer park, for people 50 years older. So it was just a retirement park, I guess you can call it. And it had just converted to being a non-nudist park. So what they call that going textile in the naturist or nudist parlance.
Shut up. Are you serious?
I didn't find that out until I worked there for a couple of years, and a lady just mentioned, goes, oh, yeah, that park's gone textile. And it took me a second to think about what she meant. I was like, oh, you mean they wear clothes? I was like, oh, okay. But because, you know, the park had got some new ownership, and a lot of the people who had been nudists there for 20, 30 years now, which in Canada is kind of strange because it gets cold around here. So I don't know why you want to be naked year round in Canada, but hey, teach their
own. Is this why they wind up moving to Florida? Because they test the waters in Canada first?
Maybe. Just keep all their naughty bits warm, I guess, for a little bit. But so we started working there because a lot of the people that were there just decided they didn't want to live there anymore if they couldn't walk around naked all the time. So we ended up meeting a lot of clients there. And I got to sit in my friend's place to do listing presentations and that. And at this point, you know, when you show up there and you're not a nudist, they're usually very cool with that. And you show up and they're dressed and you're dressed and you sit in their place and you do like a regular listing presentation. So it's usually pretty cool that way. But you do get to hear a lot of stories about all the crazy things that happen in the nudist park, as you can imagine, over 30 years of living there. I mean, they had a photo album that they brought out, one of the first couples that I went to go see.
That's not the coffee table book.
No.
They tell you to leave out during staging.
No, you got to put those away. But, you know, this nicest couple, a gentleman and a lady, and, you know, they're just, you know, they're very proud of their lifestyle and all that kind of stuff, and they're very open, as you can imagine. So they brought the photo album. And you wouldn't believe how active these people could be, because they had volleyball tournaments and tennis tournaments, and nudists from other nudist colonies or parks would come and have these championships there. And then I got to see some of the photos of the championship teams. And being, you know, the professional, trying to be the professional realtor that I strive to be, you got to sort of take it with a grain of salt, a little bit of grace, I guess, and just kind of make the, you know, that's lovely. That's nice. Oh, yes. Oh, and you won the championship that year. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. That's lovely. Can we just look at the house now? Because, you know.
Because you can't unsee that photo album. You can't.
No,
because they're eye bleach.
And knowing what you know, sitting across the table, like as we do during a listing presentation, kitchen table, you know, we have our chats and stuff. And sitting across the table from these people that, you know, once they tell you that they're naturists or nudists, I think it's only human to try your best not to stare. Because, you know, you got this idea and you're just looking at these people who are very, very nice people. But you're like, you know, these people normally would be naked right now. So you tend, and this is an older couple. They're probably at this point in their mid 60s, I guess. And I'm just for reference, I'm like in my early 40s. And, you know, just sitting across the table from them and trying to not picture them naked is really, really difficult. So you try to do your best and we try to help them as much as we can. But generally speaking, we don't really talk about it much, except for this one gentleman that I met there. And being with RE/MAX, I mean, we get recognized just about everywhere we go, right? And I'm not a secret agent, as people like to say sometimes. Like, I walk around and I wear my RE/MAX pins. I wear my Children's Miracle Network pin anytime that I'm working, and it usually ends up sticking on my jacket even when I'm not working. So people ask me about it all the time. So this one gentleman that I met there, he had seen me come and go from the park a bunch of times because my friend basically had a monopoly on this place for some reason. Like, if they had 10 units listed, she listed 9 of them. So we were in there quite a bit. And
that is, I was going to say that's market penetration, but I'm thinking in this particular scenario, it brings on a whole new meaning that we just don't intend in real estate.
No. Well, maybe we do. I don't know. It depends on the day and what we feel like, I guess. But this one gentleman, actually, it's a fascinating kind of story for me because I was just getting started and stuff, and he recognized the RE/MAX pin. So he approached me at one point, and we started chatting, an older gentleman there. And mentioned to me how he actually used to work for the two gentlemen who started RE/MAX in Canada. Now, he worked
for... That's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those little things that, you know, kind of not so crazy stories that you kind of hear every once in a while because you're with RE/MAX and we've been around for so long and we're so pervasive that, you know, he kind of pulled me to the side and he started telling me stories when he used to work for Polsler Realty back in the 1970s. And he was a nudist at the time, too. So he'd go and do real estate during the day and then go home at night to the trailer park and practice his lifestyle. And I don't think – I'm not sure how open he was about it back then, but not too many people knew. So we developed a sort of friendship after a while because every time I went there, he'd say, hey. And the park, you got a picture. I'm not sure what they're like down in the U.S., but this park – has these year-round mobile and modular homes, but they have a central location with like a swimming pool, indoor and outdoor swimming pool. They've got like a cabana with a bar area that you can go and lounge in and all this kind of stuff. So they have a fair amount of amenities there that you might not think. I'd usually end up seeing him at the cabana because this is summertime that I'm out there most of the time. And I go out there, and usually when I'm there, I try to, because it's not that close to my home, try to schedule as many appointments as I can. So I'd show like 10, I show properties at least 10 or 15 times to people coming in from out of town, just to try and get them all in as soon as I could and quickly as I could. And then end of the day, I usually end up running to this gentleman at the bar area where he's sitting. And usually, or once in a while, he's nice enough to actually buy me a drink. So a nice old guy. And then the one time I'm there, I remember, and this is one of the first stories I'll tell you, that we're sitting there at the bar and he buys me a can of beer and we're sitting there just trading stories. And a friend of his walks in from the other side of the bar. And he's, again, another older gentleman. He's in a motorized scooter to get him around. Looks in really rough shape. We'll call him Bob just for brevity's sake. And the gentleman I'm with, we'll call him Mike. Mike looks at me and says, "Do you know I gave Bob his first heart attack like 25 years ago?" And it's like, really? It's like, well, what happened? And these guys are in a fairly remote location. So 25 years ago, you can imagine it would have been even more remote as far as things like ambulances and stuff. So this was kind of an interesting story to me. And he goes, yeah, well, you know, and, you know, I didn't really think about it at the time. But it turns out that the swinger colony is a bit of a swinger colony as well. Nudist colony is a bit of a swinger place, too.
Well, I guess you may as well. I mean, that's definitely killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, you know what? If you're out there advertising it, somebody's going to buy it, I guess, right? That's just kind of the way it is.
Bless.
So he's telling me the story, and he says, you know, Bob one day gave him a call, and he says, you know, hey, Mike, my girlfriend Judy, for, you know, we'll just use that name, is over. Why don't you come on over? We'll have a few drinks and that sort of thing. And he says, well, actually, I've got a few friends of my own over. Like, maybe we'll come over a little bit later. So a little bit later on, Mike and his friends go over to Bob's trailer. And I guess as was common, he just sort of knocks on the door and just walks right on in. And he happens to find Bob and his girlfriend Judy sort of engaged on the living room floor. So
engaged in playing bridge. They were playing bridge or backgammon, correct?
We could call it that. Yeah, sure, sure. And they were very intense about it. They were really serious about it, apparently. So, you know, once after Mike and his friends joined in the game, you know, and took their turns, because, you know, that's only fair. Everybody should play a game if you're playing a game, of course. You know, that Bob decides to be, you know, because it's his house and everything, that he should have the last turn in this game, and which is fair, of course. And so once Bob gets involved with Judy again and they're playing their game, Mike seems to notice that Bob's face is turning really red. And so they kind of start asking Bob, like, Bob, are you okay? And he's not really answering because he's very, very intense about the game. He's really focused on winning this game. And so his face is turning red. His friends are getting kind of concerned for him because as Mike explained it to me or described the game, and I'm not sure exactly what game they were playing, but obviously it was kind of a physical one, because he says to me that his butt was going up and down faster than a fiddler's elbow.
That's a description.
Yeah, we know it painted a picture. And standing there at the bar drinking my beer, remember, and being the professional I'm trying to be, my response was, really? Sipping on my beer and just letting Mike tell the story. And so I guess to try and snap Mike out of his – or Bob, sorry, out of his intensity, one of his friends decided to maybe poke him in the butt. Because, you know, that's what I would do. And apparently when that was attempted, I guess it was Bob's butt cheeks kind of clammed up tighter than a cow's cheeks in fly season, so far as I was told. Now, that seems like more of a Southern saying to me, because I'm not familiar with that. So maybe
it does. I did not know y'all spoke like we did. That's interesting.
I guess maybe because they're out in the country, out in the farm areas, that kind of thing. Maybe that's just common anywhere you go. I don't know. But being a city boy, that just didn't really make a lot of sense to me. But it did paint a picture. So long story short, basically, Bob at that point does actually seem to have a heart attack. So they call the ambulance and they get the ambulance in there. And Bob is okay, obviously, because he's still alive this 25 years later to verify the story. Because as we're telling this story, Bob sort of slowly makes his way around the bar and finally makes his way. Mike's sitting on my right and Bob just sits at my left. And, you know, introductions are made and all this kind of thing. And by this point, I've kind of very quietly and quickly finished my beer just so I can make my way home at this point. And just as I go to excuse myself, Bob turns to me and says, "Oh, hey, did Mike ever tell you the story about how he gave me my first heart attack?"
So nice. That's nice.
Independent confirmation, I thought. And I said, you know what? Good enough for me. I guess it's a true story. So I got in my car and I made my way home.
So did you list and sell one of these former naturalist and now textile friendly properties? Did you list that one?
Yeah. In that park there, my friend and myself, like I said, I worked as sort of the, I guess her assistant. So I worked as a buyer's agent. So any of the buyer leads that came in, I took the people around to actually have a look at them and stuff. And then I assisted with her dealing with park management and the people who are listing their properties. And yeah, we basically sold all of them every year. It's been, like I said, at least 4 years now. She's still sort of the big person in that place, and I still go out and help every once in a while. So we've sold probably like a dozen or so, and I've done a bunch of the deals on there as well. So yeah, it's still you know, it's not very expensive. You know, these mobile homes are, I'm not sure what they're like in the U.S., but anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000, kind of thing like that. So we're not selling luxury properties. But we're out there, and they're great people, and we just like helping them and that. And it's a fairly steady source of business for us, so it works out great. But strangely enough, I live in a suburb here of Hamilton, out in the south end of the city. All new subdivisions and all this sort of stuff. And a while back, a client emails me, and like we usually get through, you know, through our websites and that sort of thing, generating leads. I receive an email from this client and basically says, "Hey, you know, I saw your profile online. I really like the whole geeky agent, geeky realtor thing that you got going on. You seem to have a really great presence online. You seem to really put a lot of effort into it, and you seem to really care about what you're doing. I'd love to chat with you. I've got to sell my home here, and I'd like to buy a home in downtown Hamilton in the lower part of the city. And, you know, I think, you know, you seem like a great guy. Can you help me?" And I said, "Absolutely. That's exactly what I do all day long. So that's my full-time job. I'd love to meet with you and check out your home and all this sort of stuff and take it from there and see what I can do for you." And then, you know, the emails go back and forth. So we've had about two or three emails back and forth, and the emails seem to get longer and longer between us for some reason, which is not the usual thing. Usually we kind of have one or two emails, make a phone call, and we'll say, "Hey, you know what, come out and see us, see if we like each other, see if we can work together, do an assessment of your home, and we take it from there." But this seems to be taking a little bit longer. And then finally I get this one email, and basically says to me, "You know, there's sort of an odd thing, I guess, maybe. And, you know, I don't really talk about it very much. I'm sort of new to this whole thing. And actually, I'm a nudist." And my response is, "Okay, good for you." That's got nothing to do with me. But hey, if that's what you're doing, I'm not really sure why you're telling me. But hey, good for you. And basically, he's telling me because his idea is that he wants to be comfortable in his own home. And he practices naturism or nudism or whatever you want to call it in his own home here in the suburbs of Hamilton. And if I were to come over for a listing presentation, he would like to be naked for the entire time.
Oh, no. I don't think I'd take that appointment.
Well, you know what? At first we started talking about it, and I thought to myself, I was like, "Whoa, hang on a second here. Am I going to get like roofied and kidnapped, or what is this?" And so a part of me, the name, the client's name was very similar to a name of a person that I know personally outside of real estate, but it was altered slightly. I was just using initials and this sort of thing. So I thought for a second I was like a candid camera kind of gotcha kind of moment, like a friend of mine was maybe trying to goof on me a little bit. So I had to, you know, just my natural curiosity, I just had to investigate. And generally speaking, I really don't give a shit. I just, you know, I'll try anything. I just like, you know, I'm not weird or nothing, but, you know, I just want to see what people are like and where we go and all this kind of thing. And I thought, you know, we're chatting back and forth, and I said, you know, I said, that's not really the normal way that we conduct business. I said, but if that's what's going to make you comfortable and stuff, I said, doesn't really faze me. And we sort of talked back and forth. And I think he got under the impression that I was going to show up and I was going to get naked with him.
No, you don't get paid enough for that.
I had to draw a line in the sand there at that point. And I said, basically, if you want to get yourself naked or, you know, whatever it happens to be, like I've dealt with clients of, you know, as you do too, of all different kinds of backgrounds, all different kinds of ethnic backgrounds, religious backgrounds, you name it. I've been in people's homes. I know friends of mine have while we're doing listing presentations, like people that are Jewish folk and Muslim folk. And I'm from a Christian background myself. So, I'm familiar with a lot of different kinds of faiths and that sort of thing. And every so often, I remember a friend of mine telling me that, they was at a listing presentation and it, you know, as Muslim folks do, they have to do pray at certain times of the day, and he had to interrupt the listing presentation so that the family could say their prayers and be respectful to their God and their faith. And he said, great, I'll step outside and let you guys pray. And then when you're done, I'll come back in and we'll finish the listing presentation. You know, it's we deal with so many different people every day. That kind of thing is really not uncommon, especially here in Hamilton. It's a pretty multicultural place. So we deal with people, either new immigrants or people that have been here for years from the Caribbean, the Middle East, and Africa and stuff. So it's a really interesting mix of people. But this was the first nudist, and I've dealt with nudists before, and I mentioned it to him too, because I guess he said he frequents the one of the two parks that still is a nudist resort. It's called the Ponderosa. You can look it up online. They have a website here in Ontario. All the photos are aerial photos taken from far away on the website. So if you're looking for a cheap thrill, that's not the place to go. but you can look it up, and I guess he has attended that place, and he's actually asked me if I wanted to go and all this sort of stuff. And I had to respectfully decline. But we did go through to the list with the listing presentation, so I did attend his house. And prior to going to the house, though, I do have to say I gave my broker, Conrad Zerini, and I think you know Conrad as well, I gave him a call on the phone, and he's got a pretty good sense of humor. So when I called him up on the phone, and we've chatted before, he's a great guy and a great broker, and I gave him a call, and I said, Conrad, he's like, Tony, what's going on? What's up? You know, and I was like, well, I just wanted you to know the lengths that I would go to make you money. And at that point, I think he got a little bit nervous until I started telling him the story. And then he started laughing more than I've ever heard him laugh in the 5 years that I've known him. So he said, well, good luck. Let me know how it goes. And so I went over to the person's house. And, as I arrived at the home, he was actually clothed. He had the shorts and a t-shirt on. It's the middle of summer when I went over to see him. And we had, a pretty regular regular talk. And so we, started off the talk not too badly. And at some point, he basically just looked at me and said, so you're okay with the whole nudism thing, right? And I said, yeah, I guess. At which point he stripped down naked.
Ooh, that's just nasty.
Yeah, well, it wasn't too bad until I had to follow him up the stairs to the second floor, which was interesting. And we finished up the rest of the listing presentation that way. He did ask me again towards the end if I wanted to maybe try it. And I said, no, I'm good. I'm good, thank you. I think I'm all right. I mean, if you were Jewish, I wouldn't pray with you because it's just it's not my thing, you know. But you feel free to do you. You do you, and I'll do me, and we'll all be okay.
And I hate to cut off your story, but we are way over the 15-minute mark, and I've been texting you, and you've been ignoring me, but that's okay because I'm sure my listeners and my producer will enjoy all the visuals they got from hearing you talk about all these nasty naked people, because I'm just going to say it's just nasty, but that's all right. So, Tony, if anybody has real estate needs in the Hamilton area, how can they find you?
Easiest way is to look up The Geeky Agent. That's me. I am the real estate geek, as you mentioned. And if you go online, anywhere you go, go to thegeekyagent.com. If you're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, look up The Geeky Agent, and there I am.
And I will include Tony's contact information in the show notes if you're listening to this episode while you're driving down the road and would like to reach out to him for anything related to Hamilton, Ontario. Tony, thank you for coming on the show and telling us about all your naked people and your naked listings. And if you are listening to the podcast and you're a realtor or a broker, a lender, an investor, or you're a consumer who has your own crazy story to tell, reach out to me. We'd love to feature you on the show. Subscribe for more episodes because you just never know what you're going to hear in the world of real estate that looks nothing like HGTV. Thanks for coming on the show, Tony.
Thank you, Lee. Love y'all.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.